Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
If you're not standing, please stand with us for the reading of the Word of God. We're going to go to Romans chapter 8, verse 35 through 39. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Verse 36, yours. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Nor height, everyone together on this last verse, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Come on, shout an amen for that. Praise God. Let's pray over the Word of God. Father, I just thank you, I praise you, I honor you, I adore you today for this opportunity to speak before your people, for this congregation of folk that have gathered together in your name. Holy Spirit, today we're going to look at some things of what will it take to stop us? What will it take to hinder us from fulfilling our purpose, our direction, the things you have for us? Lord, today I want to fill people with hope. I want to fill them with vision. I want to fill them with the anticipation of knowing that they're in the right place at the right time with doing the right thing. And God, I know there's some things you're going to show us in an illustration today of how it all fits together. It's not chaos. It's all brought into order through the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, guide and direct us. We pray all these things in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all God's people said, you may be seated. I have to go back 2 weeks in our archive of messages because it was a couple weeks ago I spoke on the subject of a particular man who had a great riches. He gave it to his stewards and he says, you know, he gave one of them, you know, 5 talents, one of them 2 talents, one of them 1 talent. But the whole story was about the idea of the parable of potential. Of the gifts we hold in our lives that will make a difference, that are bestowed upon us. But you know, there was one person in the whole story that kind of set it out. He had an excuses as to why he didn't do what God had commissioned him to do. I want to let you know, God knows what he's doing. Amen. He has you here. He has purpose and direction in your life. And so I believe today we'll examine the things that will prevent us from moving forward and fulfilling our divine purpose. And just 3 things we'll talk about briefly in the next few moments. First of all, have you given yourself permission to embrace the calling that Jesus has placed on your life? Have you given yourself permission? Take all the stuff off that mama didn't do. Take all the stuff off that the education you didn't get. And let's talk about what did Jesus call you to do? And let's see, have you given yourself permission to move on forward? Say, well, I didn't do this, I didn't do that. Don't you know God's grace and forgiveness is good enough to take you for places where you never thought you could go? Amen. And if we turn it over to him today, it's going to be an amazing thing. Second thing is this, are you willing to receive the love and encouragement you need to be filled with the fruits of righteousness? In other words, this is a message of hope and of encouragement. Are you willing to receive that? But some say, well, I just can't because I just didn't do this. The devil is a liar. He will tell you and he'll keep just putting in your mind of all the things. Oh, you blew it. God's not interested in you and that type of thing. But let me get you to number 3. Do you believe that Jesus wants to finish the good work he started in you? Well, let's talk about it. We must be willing to endure difficulty to fulfill our purpose. 2 Peter 2, verse 5. And did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of 8 people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. You know, it's an interesting scripture. It's in the New Testament. It talks about Noah, and we'll give you a little more information about that. But the part I want you to focus on is that Noah, a preacher of righteousness. But the interesting thing about it, if you go through the text about the flood and about Noah, it doesn't tell you what he did. Read it. It just tells you about the Lord says, you know, I've got things prepared for you. But it doesn't say that he went around preaching to folks, but he did. I want to let you know there's a lot of things about your life that may not be said, but God will purposely, and you will do those things, and the result of it will be as God has prophesied. So Noah was a righteous man who dared to believe God and built an ark that seemed to be ridiculous. Why am I bringing this out? God will cause you to do something, or call you to do something that seems to man to be ridiculous. Huh? Me? Able to do that? And I'll tell you what. If you look to yourself, you will talk yourself out of it. If you look to your friends for approval, they'll talk you out of it. And if you look to your finances, it'll never happen. So I could give you all the reasons why it couldn't or it shouldn't, but let's move on to this. But here's this for the Noah situation. It took him, and this part you can figure out in the Bible, it took him 120 years to build the ark. It wasn't an overnight, you know, something he got in FedEx. There was a little kit he could put together. Here you go, no. Work with it. 120 years. But that's how we can get the inference. For that 120 years, he no doubt had friends saying, what are you doing, Noah? He said, I'm building an ark. What for? God told me to do it. And by the way, God told me one of these days I'm going to need this ark. You don't need an ark for what? You aren't even near any water. What are you going to float it in? See, here's the thing about it. If you look to the world for approval or for them to verify what's going on in your life, you're in trouble. Big trouble. 120 years. And then no doubt he's mocked and he scoffed for his obedience. And he preached righteousness, according to what 2 Peter says, for about 100 years. Now that's something. Well, we must believe that the Lord has begun what he's begun in us. He will complete. And this is Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, this is a chance you get to vote. How many of you believe that Jesus has started something in your life? Just lift your hand right now. And the rest of you who are lifting your hands, you can by the end of the service. You can put your hand down. Because if you're not started, we're going to get you started today. Because it's important that you know that you're not living on this planet for no reason. Well, I'm just here, and when I die, I'm going to be dead. They're going to put me in the parking lot at Forest Lawn. No, no. Our prayers and thanksgiving to the Lord should be based upon his faithfulness and his affirmation of our service and obedience to his calling in our lives, which means this. The work he's doing in us counts for righteousness. Every person in this room wants their life to count for something. Am I right about it? Oh, Lord, let me be despondently a bum. And at the lowest part of the ladder, let me just kind of be forgotten about that I even lived. That is not true. We all want to have something, you know, that we've accomplished. But in Jesus, it's even greater. Our love should be abound in knowledge and discernment to fulfill his calling on our lives. Well, discouragement will overtake us if we are seeking for approval of man of our assignment by the Lord. I don't have to ask you how many people have been discouraged. I'll vote for you. And discouragement comes from a couple of things. Lack of confidence in yourself, but lack of people having confidence that you feel that you need in you for you to accomplish your purpose. Either one of them will kill you or stop you from being who God wants you to be. Some of us are sitting here waiting for that one person, husband, wife, mom, dad, you know, teacher, whatever, to give us approval, and then we want to launch. I want to tell you, you don't need that. Jesus wants to give you that. So, am I saying mama's not important? No. Am I saying dad's? No. But, you know, they can cheer you on and say, yeah, you go get them. But when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you, things change. Well, what about this discouragement? Noah knew that he had heard from the Lord. That's the part. If we go into the text, which we don't really have a whole lot of time to go into. But it's that Noah has this particular time in his life, and the Bible says this. I'll read it for you. And God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through men, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it outside and inside with pitch." There you go. This is what your life's going to be about for the next 120 years. Doesn't that sound exciting? I'm saying, no. Are you willing to take an assignment from the Lord that doesn't really make sense right now? But the ramifications for that was the continuance of mankind on the earth. It'll unfold in just a minute. Well, note he says, and God said, told him, make yourself an ark. There's a clue here. I'm including you in on something that other people cannot participate in. I'm giving you an assignment that would surpass anybody else that you know of. Make yourself an ark because I see something in you that is worth saving. God sees something in you worth saving. God sees something in you worth preserving. And that's what's so amazing to me, that we get an assignment from that from the Lord. Well, we must be willing to confront and go into a different dimension. Confront the Red Sea between us and our freedom. Exodus chapter 14, verses 13 through 16. Whole nother different scenario. And the Lord said to Moses and to the people, "Do not be afraid, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever." What does no more forever look like? Anybody have any questions about no more forever? That means they're gone forever. They're done. Have you ever had God give you a promise that you could not comprehend, and so therefore, even though those things are out of your way, you still are living on the imagination of things that really aren't there? A lot of times our intimidation is based upon the things that we have logged into our mind of people that have long past been a part of your history. But the things they said to you years ago are keeping you from moving forward today. Oh boy, I'm gonna get personal now. Some of you are still hanging on a negative concept or something negative someone spoke to you years ago, and you won't let go of it, and therefore you cannot move on for God. Let me move to the next little verse. It says, so the Lord and Moses said to Moses, "Don't be afraid and stand still. And you'll see them no more. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." Wow. What does that mean? Fear will always be the obstacle that we must overcome in order to pursue our purpose. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Fear, as much as you can deal with today, and I hope that my goal is today that you would leave here fearless. But I can't guarantee you it's going to last till next week. Because that's the devil's job, to make you fearful of whatever it happens to be. I'm not have enough money. I'm not going to get home. I'm not going to get my car home without crashing because there's ice on the road. I mean, you can talk yourself into all kinds of things unless you believe what God says. You know what? I'm the God, you know, and I'm going to take you through this whole thing without anything happening to you. Who are you going to believe? Your fear or your father? Well, when we choose to stand still and firmly planted our feet on the promise of God's word, that's what makes a great difference in our life. But what about this? We leave our slavery to the enemy behind us when we move forward in our purpose and destiny. Now, for those of you who don't know the story of Moses and the children of Israel, they've been in slavery for a long time. And Moses was sent there to let them out of their slavery. And of course, he goes to Pharaoh and he says he's going to let them go. And they go through 10 awful plagues. But finally, the showdown comes and he says, "Okay, you guys can go." And of course, in his immutable fashion, here comes Pharaoh after them, chasing them. And they're about to face the Red Sea, which separates them between them and their freedom on the other side. I won't ask you this, but I know that some of you sitting in this room right now are at the Red Sea of your experience, that you're right up against this particular place and you don't know whether you're going to make it through there or not. And it's either God does or I'm done. And the Lord says to you, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. This isn't the end. Let me show you how this thing unravels, or for good. So Moses was challenged to believe that and so the Lord says to him specifically something he's supposed to do. I think I missed a scripture here that I'm supposed to read. It'll help you understand what happens. Exodus, did I get the 16th? Oh, yeah. Well, let me just paint the picture for you because I don't have time to go there. So they get to their particular place and they're up against the Red Sea. And the Lord says to Moses, he says, stretch out your hand, your rod, in front of the Red Sea. Really? My hand, rod, Red Sea? God many times will tell us to do something that we don't really comprehend all that that means. You don't have to understand everything about it. You just get to do it. Now, I don't know what type of household you were reared in, but my parents didn't ask me for suggestions. They would tell me to go clean up my room. And I'd have a different plan as to when it should happen or if it should happen at all. They were not interested in my suggestions. Go clean up your room meant go clean it up and clean it up to my satisfaction, not to yours. Now, I don't know whether you were a Spock child or not, but I'll tell you what, they didn't care. But when they said stretch out, you just did it. So there's no misunderstanding here as to what the expectation happens to be. So anyway, so Moses is challenged to believe that extending his rod in his hand would produce a miracle that had never been seen before. Now, up against the Red Sea in front of him, stretch out your rod, and I can, without being, you know, polluting the text, I don't really honestly know that could say that Moses knew exactly what God was going to do. That's part of our problem too. Ever tried to second guess God? How he's going to do something? Say yes. I say, oh, I know what God's going to do. You are so wrong. You so missed it. But God is going to do something that will take you through, and that's okay. So he stretches out his rod, and all of a sudden, the water parts. You know, anybody see the Charlton Heston version? All of a sudden, you know, everybody saw that. It's kind of phony, but anyway. But the way they did it. The wind blows and the waters part, and they walk through on dry land. But let me get to that principle because I don't want to park here too long. So he had to experience a miracle by stretching forth a rod. The experience of a miracle that he had sinned once before with the rod. Regardless of our prior experience, we still have the confidence in God in our present situation. And so they go through on dry land. And my point in even saying all this and putting it together is that God, if we're going to reach the place where he wants us to reach, we have to believe him in spite of what we think or what we see. Let's move on to this last little portion we're going to get to. Purpose happens when we submit to his plan. Back into Romans verses 8:38 and 39. My first question to you, are you persuaded? What does it mean to be persuaded? That means that no other information that will come to you will move you from the thing that you're founding yourselves on. I'm persuaded. Now, remember there was one particular person that says, I'm almost persuaded. Well, almost persuaded is like, it's all done except for, well, it ain't done. Ever tell your parents, oh, my room's all clean except for I didn't get my clothes off the floor. Your room ain't clean. Well, it is clean. It's all clean, but the clothes aren't off the floor yet. Don't tell me crazy stuff. And that's how we talk to God. And he said, I got it all done except for. Don't talk to God like that. If it's done, it's done. So if you're really truly persuaded, it says that neither death nor life nor angels, principalities, powers, things to come, things to go, height, depth, you know, created thing, shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. If that isn't your confession of persuasion, you're in trouble. I got something for you. It won't work. Whatever it is. Let's move through this. We are part of a puzzle that the Lord is putting together. Now, I hope Brother Dan is ready for me at this point, because I have something for you. I hope he hasn't escaped, because I have some pieces for you to get. And his wife's going to go find him real quick. I told him, are you ready? She's getting them for you. Every person in this room is going to get a piece of the puzzle. Would you please distribute? They're in the basket. Just take one piece. Only one. Nobody gets two. If you take two, you'll probably die before you hit the door. God is calling you to obedience. Do it quickly. Quickly, quickly. And also, I want one of you to make sure that the children, especially the young people, take those baskets up to them and make sure they get a piece of the puzzle as well. Do it quickly. The reason why the Lord gave me this illustration, and it's and I'm not that smart, so I can't claim any, expertise on this. But when I was studying this message, I realized that all of us, if we're talking about the body of Christ, we talk about a connection of how we all fit together. And so the Lord says, I want you to do is I want you to give everybody a piece of the puzzle. Now, I'm going to tell you what to do with this. I want you to put it in your pocket. Ladies, you can put it in your purse. And you don't have to keep it forever, but I want you to keep it for at least 1 week. And then there will be something specific about this message that piece of the puzzle will remind you of. I promise you, that's what's going to happen. The other part about it, I thought it would be a challenge, but it could be pretty devastating, is for you to find the other piece of the puzzle that fits. We could be here a long, long time. And then I had a thought that I said, what I'm going to do is show you what the picture looks like. I'm not going to show you that today. It's not up there. You know why? Because I didn't give it to Sean. Otherwise, someone might put up there mistakenly, then it'd ruin my whole illustration. But but remember, take that one piece, and we're just going to continue on. So we will encounter circumstances that will affect our lives and the lives of others. And we must be careful not to try to play a part that we don't fit. My wife is a master puzzle put togetherer. I know that's not a good word, but that's what she does. How she does it is beyond me. My insanity. I can do this for an hour and a half, and I'm done for the next 6 years. Puzzles, no. But she'll take the box, spread it out on the table, and she'll go through every single piece. Well, that's not quite the right shade. We'll put it over here. And she'll get them all in piles of shades of different things. Then she goes to the next strategy. Then she'll lay them on the table. This type of thing. I can't do it. You think I'm kidding, don't you? I'm going to bring you a photograph of all the boxes that she's put together next week. If you think I'm not telling you the truth. But think of it in this context. The thing I want you to really rejoice in is that you are a piece of God's puzzle. And we will not be put together without you. The connectiveness of going together. Now, some things that just don't fit. And and how they do it with those little massive machines, you think, this is almost a perfect, it fits perfectly, but it's the wrong color, so it don't fit. I got you where I want you. Let's carry on. God is not the author of coincidence, but of providence. There's nothing coincidental that God says, oh, that's an amazing coincidence that I met you. It's not a coincidence, it's providence. If you go through the thing that you think of luck and we've got good luck, I don't believe in luck. I believe in God's providence. I believe that every good and perfect gift is coming from God, and God uses all things and he puts them together for your good. That's how God works. And if you're just waiting for that coincidence to come along for somebody got that check for $1 million in their hand looking for you, I'll tell you what, you're going to be one sad person. Because God has already worked it out. But what you've got to do is be in the right place, in the right time, in the right attitude for God to do his work in you. And that's what's so powerful about this. So nothing created has the power to stop his providence of his plan in you. Wow. This is the reason why I said this message will give you hope and give you the assurance of what God is doing, because we can celebrate a breakthrough as an indicator of his love for us. Any of you ever had a breakthrough before? Come on, raise your hand. Financial breakthroughs. Oh, I thought I was out of it and God came to me. But here's what I want to tell you to be careful of. Some of us get trapped by breakthroughs. We must be aware of not mistaking one demonstration of his power as our destiny. Well, you probably want an illustration of that. Well, our purpose can only be accomplished when we are willing to go to live beyond ourselves. In other words, we must live beyond what we believe people think or believe about us. If you're waiting for my approval or your neighbor's approval or someone else, you may not reach your destiny. I was waiting for them to say I did a good job and then I can move forward, but I've always been fragile in my ego. And no one tells me this. I just think I'll just play like a fly. Really? God's providence isn't dependent on me telling you the right thing to motivate you. Although I should be kind and generous and gentle towards you, but if you're waiting just for that one thing, you'll miss it. We must not be set up to camp on success as being our identity. Oh, got it. Success. Done. We're not done till he takes you home. That's done. So our purpose will take us beyond any victory we experience fulfilling his plan. Now, here's one of the kind of a funny illustration. Say, for instance, in high school, you got the part in the play, and you got to sing whatever it was. Somebody say, oh, I'm destined for Hollywood. You are delusional. Maybe you were quarterback on the football team. Maybe you were the center on the basketball team. But if you think you're ready for an NFL or the NBA, you are delusional. But some people take that as a sign that this is what I'm supposed to be. But I tell you what, if you're looking just for those signs, there's other things that go along with it. And that's what the enemy does, where some people are so messed up and jacked up at this point, because you're looking at that one, oh, and then God let me down. He didn't let me go in the NBA. You weren't supposed to be there. Can I go a little further? You don't have the talent if you went there to stay. Well, you're going to be nice. Now you're not being nice. No, I'm just helping you. Here we go. We're getting close. David was prepared to face a giant that all the other men of Israel feared. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 32 through 37. This will help you define it. Then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, you're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth and he a man of war from his youth. Now, David has to make a choice at this point, and so do you. Are you going to believe what Saul says? Or are you going to believe what God put in you? What's his reason? He says, well, you're a youth, and he a man from his... All right, verse 34. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, goes 35, here we go. Keep going. Okay, there we go. I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Whoa, David. It was a bad boy. He was working it. He says, I'm not going to let you tell me. You're looking at me as a youth. He says, but I want to tell you what's behind this youth. I've faced some things you don't know that I've faced. I've been through some storms that you don't know that I've been through, and God brought me through it, and I'm here to testify today. So who you think I am is not who, what you see is not who I really am. People will see you differently than what God sees you. Now watch this. Your servant has killed both a lion and a bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of these, seeing that he has defied the armies of the living God. What is his purpose? He's defending the armies of the living God. It's not about him, it's about the armies of the living God. It'll never be about you, it'll be about the armies of the living God. If you're just living just to get your name put up in lights, you will miss it every single time. But if you're living for the glory of God, something good's gonna happen in your life. Well, he found his purpose of holding a standard of the living God. He knew that his former victories were preparing him for his challenge before him, and David did not allow discouragement to prevent him from entering his purpose. Now, earlier on in this whole thing, his brothers, all of us got relatives of some kind. And you know what? You didn't get to pick them. And don't be too haughty. They might not have picked you either, so don't worry about it. But his brothers reacted to him, being that they could not deter him from establishing what God had done. He learned to live his life connected to future opportunities. And he was not going to allow any perceived obstacle to hinder him. Now, get this. When we realize that God's plan does not begin and end with us, we can fulfill our purpose and inspire others. Amen. Amen. You are not the Alpha and the Omega. God is. And he'll intersect with you at some juncture in your life that you may fulfill his purpose for his glory. Well, what does that look like? It's an opportunity that when we realize God's plan does not begin with us, here's number one. We must get connected with our present generation of believers. He said, why'd you throw that in there? What does that mean? You can say whatever you want about this present generation, they're not doing this, or X generation, whatever, now generation, all the different generations they've figured out. He said, I don't want to be a part of that. But you get to. Here's a statistic you may not want to hear. 75% of kids that are raised in churches will not be even attending any type of church by the time they're 25. 75%. I've got all the Barna statistics to back it up. Most of you who think that children lose their connection with Jesus in college, you're absolutely wrong. Only 13% of them lose it in college. The rest of them lose it in junior high and high school. Oh, so stop blaming the professors. You know what they're looking for? They're looking for someone who's living their faith day to day that they can attach to, that say that our God is able, that will not separate, because we're kind of in this spin zone of where we just don't, we haven't quite made it from. Well, I know God, sometimes he doesn't, you know, God has ways that are mysterious. No one really knows what he's going to do. If you're that mixed up, how are you going to lead this generation? It's going to get rough from here on out. Fasten your seatbelts. We must sow seed in responsive ground. Let me just tell you what that means. Prayers, time, effort, passion, and tears will open the doors of opportunity to expand God's kingdom. It just doesn't happen automatically. It's a sowing process. And I want to ask you a question, everybody here. Who are you sowing into? I do my daily bread every day. I try to make church at least twice a month. And you know something? Most of us can't get past that. I'm going to be teaching on discipleship in the next few months. I'm just kind of getting you prepared, because we're going to prime the ground where you're going to see some effectiveness happening. Well, here we go. Spiritual bankruptcy will occur when we sow to the flesh. What does that look like? Sow seed in responsive ground. Sow seed in the lives of people who are ready, who are hungry, who need faith, who desire to be fruitful. What? And there are people out there. And they're not in here. They're out there in the world waiting for you to come to them to sow into their lives. But you have to have a purpose and an intent of what you're doing. Wow. We become unstoppable when we apply the principle of forgetting the past and embracing the future. We're almost there. Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14. Here we go. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. Turn to your neighbor, tell them one thing. Tell somebody just one thing. Not 10, one. If I can get you to buy into this, this puzzle is going to make sense because it's going to be a huge thing we're going to do. We're not done with that yet. We're going to do one thing. Forgetting those things behind and reaching forward toward those things which are ahead. Everything you've done up to this particular point, I want you to forget about it. You say, wait a minute, hold on. No, I mean, what I mean by that statement is if I'm just using that as a reason not to move forward in God, it's not going to serve me well. Because it's forgetting those things that are behind me, he says, and reaching forward toward those things which are ahead of me. Amen. Stop living in the past and get moving forward to what God has for you. I remember the good old days. Yeah, we did this. And I mean, I could take you back to about all the historical things that have happened in the last 40, 50, 60, 60. Yeah, 70. I can't get to 70. I'd have to be 5 years old to remember anything. 65 years. But I can tell you a lot of things that happened. It won't serve you. I want to talk about what's God doing now. So here we go. Leave the past behind. Reach forward toward things that are ahead. And take your piece of the puzzle and allow the Holy Spirit to connect you with your purpose. Now, here's what we're going to do. I want you to turn to somebody right now. Hold up your piece of the puzzle. Look them in the eye and tell them this. Tell them this word. You fit. All right. Now, keep looking at them, and here's what you're going to say after me. I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know when. But you fit. They didn't give you one? Oh, good. I just want to make sure. Now, here's, say this, you can look at me and say this. God made you. We need you to be a complete picture of his purpose and of his will. Because you fit. Now, that little piece of the puzzle is going to serve a great purpose. And actually, the people who didn't get one today, we're going to have them in a little bag and tell them what we're going to do with this. Because I don't know how we're going to do this, but if I hope I can convince you to do this. Do not lose that little piece. I say, how are we going to do that? I don't know. That's a big thing for some y'all. Because by God's grace, after we get all the pieces passed out, I want to see if we can put it together. You say, that's a challenge. You'll never get it done. I don't need you on my team. Do you hear what I'm saying? Because you belong in that camp. Worship team, you can get back up here. But that'll stop me, maybe. Okay. But listen, this is what happens. You say, well, Pastor, you gave one of those pictures, some piece of the puzzle, somebody may not come back again, so we're going to have to, oh, really? Or you gave that piece of the puzzle to somebody who's not even a believer yet. You know what? They fit. Because God has a calling on their life, and they have a place in the kingdom of God. And so, therefore, they fit. Every person in this room fits into God's plan. Every person that has breath in their body fits in what God wants to do in their lives. And I want to tell you right now, the enemy is the one who will cause you to think and to believe that you're just kind of a random act of whatever. And the fact that you're here today, so, well, you know, oh, I just made my way here. There's a reason why God put you in this room today, to let you know how significant you are. The way he shaped you. You know what I like about this? None of you got to go through the pile and say, I like that shape better than the other one. You just got what you were handed. Is that not right? That's who you are right now. But it still fits in the puzzle. So you're just as significant as every other person in this room. Anybody want to find their purpose? Anybody want to fulfill their purpose? Raise your hand at me right now. Because that's what God's got for you. Everybody bow your heads. We're going to pray together and God's going to do something that I believe is just absolutely amazing. Paul went through a lot of stuff. But the conclusion he made in Philippians, he says, you know what? I got to forget about all the times I was persecuted. I got to forget about the shipwreck. I got to forget about the people who really talked about me and wanted me to fail. I want to move ahead to fulfill the purpose that God has for me. The one thing the devil would want you to buy into today is that you're here by accident and you're kind of random and don't even take this whole puzzle thing seriously. That's a lie. I'm not smart enough to put something like that together, but I can't. I'm smart enough to use it to tell you this. God's had a message for you all your life to let you know you are not a random piece of anything, that you fit into his eternal plan. But you get to choose whether or not you're going to get connected. I'm going to pray. At the end of my prayer, I'm going to ask for those people today and say, you know, Pastor, I didn't really understand that now. In spite of all the things I've gone through in my life, I can believe I fit. Jesus, would you wipe away all of the hurt, the guilt, the pain, all the confusion, the doubt, all the mistakes, even things that we did yesterday, or even this morning. Because Lord, we want all that to go away so we can fit into your plan. And I ask in the name of Jesus, on behalf of every person in here that's outside of the realm of knowing Jesus, if they know so little about him, but they say, you know what, I want to find out what God's purpose is in my life. Lord, would you help them to make that commitment to do that today. I want to pray for all the things that have held them back, all the things that just has been so difficult. Lord, I feel an overwhelming amount of compassion for people who've really been hurt and wounded by things that have been said by people they trusted, they believed in. Could have been mom or dad, could have been a coach, could have been a teacher, could have been a family member. Or maybe a broken relationship, even a divorce. But God, would you come right now, put your arm around them and tell them, you still fit. With every head bowed, with every eye closed, there are people here today. I'm going to tell you ahead of time what I believe God is saying. If you will trust him, not me, but if you'll trust him, he will put your life and begin the process of putting it back together again. And so with your heads bowed and eyes are closed, everybody, if you really want that to happen, and I'm not talking about people who say, well, yeah, I'm saved and this type of thing, but I'm not talking about whether you're saved. I'm talking about you know that right now you don't fit and you want Jesus to help you put your life together again. If you've never made a commitment to Jesus and you want God to do that, I want you to lift your hand right now and say, Pastor, that's what I need. Would you help me? Anybody like that? Because we'd love to pray for you today. Yeah. Anybody else that says, yeah, I need that. Yeah.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.